Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank.
Big Al and D-Mac's big story of the day is brought to you by Plumbers Local 3.
104.3 The Fan presents Big Al and D-Mac with a big story of the day.
But it looked like Joseph Jones blocked it, and Denver will have the ball in great field position.
It started good.
Royce Freeman starts in, running back, takes the handoff on first down, has room and takes it in. One play, one touchdown, and the Broncos with an impressive start. They lead it 6-0.
It looked bad.
Flacco hands off Collins at the 5. Collins takes it in. That's a big answer for the Ravens. A 6-yard touchdown.
It got better.
First and 10. It's Emmanuel Sanders with a lot of room to run. Sanders at the 20 with a blocker in front. Sanders to the house for a touchdown. 35 yards.
And then it fell apart.
Buck Allen replaces him on 3rd and 2. And Buck Allen has his number called again. First down and more. Allen dives for the pylon. No signal yet. Spotting it at the 2.
After hearing the play, the ruling on the field has changed. The runner broke the pin of the goal line with the call on, with the ball in his hand before touching out of bounds. It's a touchdown. Baltimore will not be charged with a timeout.
You know, and it's picked off. It's a Wasu on the return.
I was a little off. I said 30-13. So. But I saw this disaster, you know, a mile away. So I wasn't surprised at all. Not at all. Alfred, my man, I love your heart and soul. You believed it. You knew the Broncos were a long shot to win, but you talked yourself into picking the Broncos. And, you know, it was what it was.
Right. Well, I mean, this was, we knew and we profiled this game as the toughest game the Broncos would have all year on the road.
Yes, that is true.
I've been hearing a lot today on the radio station that I just can't believe some of the text messages and some of the comments today about the game are a little bit disturbing.
Okay. You know, considering- you look great, by the way. Is that a new little... Jackie, you look like Carolina blue. You're just blue top to bottom. You look like you're about
thank you, D-Mac.
To roll one out for the Tar Heels today. You got a blue water bottle, a blue hat.
No, I didn't even realize.
Blue everything.
That.
You look in line.
Thank you. I'm clean.
You are clean.
Right,
yeah,
as Thomas Harding would say.
Get your Nike gear on to salute Tiger, and you're all good.
Thank you, bro.
Or to salute whoever you want from Nike. I'm not quite sure.
I've been a Nike athlete since I was 21 years old.
Are you proud to be a Nike athlete?
I like the association. Yeah, I do. I do like Nike.
I don't blame you.
I do like Nike.
All right, go ahead. What were you going to say? You were hearing things during the day.
Yeah, and it's something that is a little bit troubling with me because for some reason, we must have some people that work that roll on the other shows that thought that we were going to go undefeated this year.
Well, you better be specific here. You're throwing out some allegations.
No, I'm just saying. Listen, man. I listen all day. Like you, I listen all day. The post-game reaction yesterday was a little bit ugly. But what did people think that this was going to be? A 16-0 start?
Yeah, that's what surprised me the most today is everybody expect?
What just happened here? I mean, what just happened here?
See,
back on a team that's 2-1?
What happens is that people, when they hear legitimate criticism, at least from me, they think it's something personal. It's nothing personal. I don't know these guys. I don't hang out with these guys. I don't get invited to dinners. I'm not friends with them. Every single thing you hear out of my mouth is based on just analysis and looking at the situation as it exists.
Right, right.
Period. So there's nothing personal going on here when I tell you Joe Woods is a lousy defensive coordinator. It's not personal. He is. It's not personal when I say I've got questions about the offensive line and why didn't we get Ramczyk. It's not personal. It's what we've said. It's not personal when I point out our punter is below average now in the NFL. He was called out by his coach today. It's not personal. It's just the way it is. We have said that the only personal thing I probably got going on is with Emmanuel Sanders, to be quite honest with you. But we have said, what did we say more than anything last week? Get the ball to Emmanuel Sanders early and often.
Get it to him. And
I said it. You said it. And I said we all said it.
And I said that the perfect game plan this week on offense was to, you know, jump ball. This is a jump ball week. I said jump ball. I mean, every pass that we threw for a back shoulder jump ball type situation, we were successful in. We got pass interference and I think three receptions. Keep going to it. Don't stop. Don't stop. Keep going to them. Make them play off. Make them do something else. Our defensive game plan was soft. It was really soft. And the Ravens did a good job. That is an excellent offensive line. That's an excellent offensive line when it comes to pass protection. When it comes to the run game, they're not a great unit. But as far as pass protection, their concepts are good.
Here's
because
what
they wanted to do was always keep six in against our four rushing. And if we don't bring seven against their six, they're going to have time at times. But it was disappointing because we said last week that we weren't going to do the sit back and wait type things that we did the week before. But you know, things end up happening, and we should have had much better success. I thought we had some crappy calls that went for us and some that went against us. That were just, I mean, I just got to tell you, the block field goal by Justin Simmons, way to go, man. Way to go. You keep on showing up every single week. You keep on impressing.
You realize that was illegal, though, right?
No, he was within 1.5 yards.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, my God, Al.
Go back and look.
I did, several times.
Go back. Well, he had his hand.
He started hiding behind a defensive lineman.
That's right, and he was within a yard.
He creeped up on the snap. So you're not supposed to, the intent of the rule isn't to be moving forward. No, it's not.
No, I'll tell you this.
Whatever.
Great play, Justin Simmons.
They didn't call the flag, so it's a great play.
Great play, Justin Simmons.
But Stokely said on the air he was expecting a flag to be thrown because of it, and I was too.
But he didn't touch anybody.
And the TV announcers went through the rule later on the broadcast.
They said he was 2 yards away.
That's right. They explained that it should have been called as well.
He was right on the defensive tackles. Outside shoulder and jump through the gap. Okay. Sorry, I'm sorry that the offensive lineman didn't protect the gap.
If they threw a flag on it, would you have been surprised?
Yes, because he was
really?
So close to the defensive lineman.
All right. Well,
it felt like you know the offensive lineman they went to sleep. It was great film study. It's great film study that when you see a bunch of guys who just basically, you know, get to the line of scrimmage, put their hands down, and just basically put their hands down to the ground and not try to extend, then, you know, they made their
mind.
I'm
not going to argue with that. But great play.
Great
play.
But on that play, man,
yeah,
they called Domantas Petco for, I believe it was Domantas Petco, because they said 77, but they meant 94 on 77.
Correct.
Okay. They called Domantas Petco on what
77 is Bradley Bozeman, a center from the center,
right,
from Alabama,
and he
who runs a 5'3" 840.
Right. It was so, I mean, it was a ticky tack foul.
But was it a foul?
It was not. He was walking.
Alfred,
he was basically running with him, and he
Alfred.
Put his hand over to his side.
Did he touch him?
He touched him.
Then it's a foul.
Oh my goodness. Well, I'll tell you what.
The end.
Okay, I'll tell you what.
And then Bozeman hammed it up. So you had a really dumb play by Petco, and then you had a really smart play by Bozeman, who felt contact and knew
he
could
milk
it.
He faked it up.
He faked it up, but it was Petco. If Petco simply jogs down the field,
he doesn't have to do anything.
Pumping his hands in the air, celebrating, touching nobody,
that's
a guy who runs
touchdown.
A 5'3" 8 is not going to catch Chris Harris, Alfred.
And he is 30 yards away from him.
Not only was it a dumb play, it was a cheap shot.
Oh my goodness, man. I mean, go back and watch the play.
I've watched it 10,000 times.
Go back and watch it. It felt like nothing. It felt like nothing.
You don't know what it felt like.
But I'm just telling you what I felt like looking at it.
Cheap shot.
Somebody, you don't know what cheap is. If that's cheap, you don't know what cheap is.
Well, what would it be then? What was it? If it wasn't a cheap shot, what was it?
You know what a cheap shot is?
No.
When you put your helmet on somebody.
There's a lot of cheap shots.
Hold on. If you put your helmet on a guy in a situation like that, he does not see you coming, and you blindside him, then that is that is what we consider a cheap shot.
Okay.
That was just a ticky-tacky call.
No. What was the block then? What was the intent of the block if it wasn't a cheap shot?
Dude, he didn't even put his helmet on him.
What was the intent of the block if it wasn't a cheap shot?
I think
Was he trying
to touch him?
Was he trying to stop him from catching Chris Harris?
No, but instinctively, you become a
instinctively. So you're in the league. You're Dama Topeka. You're in the league for 12, 13 years.
2 weeks in a row.
And you have your instinctual play.
2 weeks in a row.
To do nothing.
Shouldn't have touched him.
Right.
Shouldn't have touched him.
It was dumb.
But the referee to call that. He hammed it up. I ain't going to lie. The center hammed it up.
He hammed it up.
It was a good play by him. And then later, when Case Keenum threw the interception for the touchdown.
Yeah.
The block in the back?
That was ridiculous, too.
That was ridiculous. They call the quarterback turns his back to the defensive guy. The defensive guy is the guy with the football is running.
Right.
And the quarterback is in front. If he turns his back, you have the right to hit him.
And again, the player for the Ravens shouldn't have done anything.
You can hit him if he turns his back.
If
the ball carrier is behind you.
Do you think that guy?
If the ball carrier is behind you, you have the right to clear the way.
It was a bad call.
That should have been a touchdown for the Ravens.
No, that was a good call, too.
That was not. Listen,
it was another dumb
play. You don't understand the rules. If you think that was a clipping.
Of course I understand the rules.
If you think that was a block in the back.
Yeah.
Dude.
It looked like a block in the back.
He started running and he turned his back.
Okay.
So let me ask you this.
All right.
If I was playing on the defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And I stood up and turned backwards, and the guy pushed me in the back. Is that blocking in the back?
I don't know. I'm not an NFL referee that was standing 2 feet away from the play.
It was a bad call. I almost cursed. I'm telling you, that was a bad call, too. That call shouldn't have been called. That should have been a touchdown for the Ravens.
Anybody that's played the game understands that. Anybody that hasn't, they can't.
There were dumb plays left and right
It was a frustrating day, man, on the sack by Shane Ray. Shaq Barrett, man, just jump on the ball. Jump on the ball right there. I mean, come on.
You know who's excited about SmackDown being here tonight at Pepsi Center? Must be Garrett Bowles, because he was wrestling left and right.
That dude had so many takedowns. Mm. He should go out for the Olympics for the wrestling team.
Mark Schlereth said he should be benched.
Let me tell you something, man. On the sack where Philip Lindsay, he said he was trying to punch the ball out. I have to believe that that's what he was trying to do.
Another dumb play.
I have to believe that, you know, in that situation, that Philip Lindsay was not punching a guy in the NFL in the helmet. He was trying to actually punch the ball out. That's all.
You can't dive into a pile.
Wait a minute. Let me finish this.
Dumb
okay?
play.
Let me finish this.
Okay.
And in the instant I saw the play, here's the bad. You know what the worst part about that play was?
Philip Lindsay diving into the pile when he didn't need to.
No.
Yes.
The worst part of that play.
Whatever.
Okay. The worst part of that play is that our left tackle didn't know it was a pass.
Oh. Okay.
I mean, it was clear. It was clear in his steps. And his release, Garrett Bowles didn't know that was a pass.
Garrett Bowles doesn't know how to play football, which is concerning.
He's had two good games, and now he just threw this one out there and just makes everybody wonder, what are you doing?
Adam Schefter, our ESPN NFL insider, is presented by ROX Heating and Air, ROX, ROX Heating and Air. Adam, good afternoon. You can say we're all fired up watching the Broncos, but let me just start with this question for you.
Yes.
It's obvious the Broncos need help in the secondary. Trades don't happen all that often in the NFL. And I just don't know what is possibly available out there. A lot of people would dream of getting like a Patrick Peterson, that sort of thing. Let me ask you, are there any available cornerbacks that make sense? And are there any teams that are more likely to wheel and deal at that particular position?
Well, where did you get Patrick Peterson from, D-Mac? I'm curious to know that.
Speculation of fans, and it's more just
Adam, I'm with you on that one. I never knew where that came from, because if I'm Arizona, I'm never doing that deal.
Well, it's an interesting name. That's why I asked. Just because, again, I don't think they'd ever do anything. But he's an elite cornerback, and their season's about to go. Well, let's see what Josh Rosen does now that he's the starting quarterback. But I think they're 0-3, and with them being 0-3,
their season's almost over.
If they get to, let's just say, 0-4,
right,
1-5, and when you're the trade deadline, would they consider that? I don't think that's not been their way. They're not this team that does that kind of thing. But it's a very interesting name to just monitor, although I don't think they'd ever trade him. I just don't believe that.
Well, let's talk about it for a second. In order to get somebody like that, what would we be talking about? You know, I mean, what?
D-Mac, first of all, teams don't want to part with defensive backs. We're in a league now.
Right.
Where you're playing more defensive backs than ever. You know, most teams are playing nickel and dime regularly.
Right.
And so every team is looking for more cornerbacks and more guys, safeties who have flexibility who could cover. Like, there's not a team in the league, I don't care what defensive team you name to me, that wouldn't want more corners, more cover guys. Everybody wants them. So, you know, who's looking to get rid of them? Nobody's looking to get rid of them. And where are you getting them? You know, what kind of premium you're going to pay for them? It's a hard thing, and every guy is different. I just think it's very difficult. Even for, let's say it's who's the worst team in football right now that hasn't won a game? You tell me.
Raiders.
Okay, fine. Well, they don't even have any cornerbacks that you want, I don't think.
God, maybe the Cardinals, actually, now that you bring it up. I mean,
So Patrick Peterson, I mean, we can use him as an example.
Sure.
You know, they don't want to trade him. Like, that's not what you want to do, And if you do trade him, then they would want back a ransom to go get rid of him. And if you're Denver, you're not giving up what they want, and you're going to get him midway through the season. Like, it's not practical. It's not realistic. And I just don't see that being a situation where you're going to go get another corner off the market. It's just not.
So if you're in a cornerback deficit, and the season has started.
I mean, he's a top five corner.
Hang on for dear life, because it's just hard to shake those guys loose. I mean, that's more or less what you're saying. Like, you kind of got to sleep
and
in your bed.
I'm not going to say it's impossible, but it's like saying, okay, you know what? Like last year, we were asking this question. Boy, Denver's really hurting at the quarterback position. What can they do at quarterback here?
Yeah.
Now that they're in this spot, right? And it's just like, good luck finding a quarterback. You know, late September, good luck finding a cornerback
right
in late September. Those are the guys you got to go draft. You got to go draft them.
Right.
And groom them and train them the way that Cincinnati once trained Alfred Williams.
And by the way, the Broncos have done that. They drafted Brennan Langley, who they've discarded, and they've drafted Isaac Yiadom, who's playing only out of desperation. I mean,
I thought he looked okay yesterday.
The Broncos were so desperate, they signed Pac-Man Jones, who's not shocking, hurt. Because that's what happens to 35-year-old cornerbacks, Adam. The few that exist.
But see that? They drafted two of them.
They did.
That's the idea. And at least one of them missed.
Yes.
Okay? So that's where it comes back to that, where you gotta find them, draft them, groom them, grow them, and have them produce for you.
Thus the value of Denzel Ward, perhaps, in Cleveland over Bradley Chubb. Perhaps.
Let me tell you this. Now, the knock on Denzel Ward was that he was 5'10". Do you want to go take, you know, a 5'10 cornerback with the fourth overall pick? But I'll say this to you. The Browns would not give back that pick in a million years. They love Denzel Ward, and they think he's going to go to the Pro Bowl this year.
Yeah, he's been a nice surprise. Watching him play has been a real treat. That Cleveland defense is a real deal, Adam. And with that being said, Baker Mayfield was named the starter today for the Browns, and we saw that Josh Rosen was named starter today. And it seems like all of the young quarterbacks that were a part of this last year's draft, the top five have all been activated. And why they're playing Rosen, I don't know. Can you explain why Rosen went in the game yesterday in the fourth quarter on the game-winning drive? Could you explain that to me?
Well, what happened was Sam Bradford had another turnover. He fumbled. And so they decided at that point in time to make the move that they did. But, again, I had been hearing last week that they were considering making that change, and they didn't go ahead and do it at the start of the game, and they didn't do it at halftime, and they waited to the spot that they did, which I thought was a little wild. Like it's,
right.
I mean, there was just over 4 minutes left in the game, and they're down two, and they're playing the Bears, one of the better defenses in the league, and you say to your young rookie first-round draft pick, okay, go ahead in there right now and
win it for us.
and try to get that done. It's not an ideal circumstance.
Let me ask you this. Another shocker yesterday was Jimmy Garoppolo suffers a season-ending ACL. What in the deal is going on with these quarterbacks? Will we have more than normal when we start looking at the injury report, when we're looking at quarterbacks? Because I thought they were protected better this year.
You know, that was just a freak deal. Like his knee gave out, and it's a hard thing to say that there's more. I mean, it's I don't know about that. To me, you know, we saw that quarterback injury. It was an isolated incident. Has there been any other quarterbacks who've been hurt so far this year?
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers, but it also highlights us here in Denver that we're one play away from playing our backup quarterback.
Yeah, it's just, you know, Rodgers went down, Garoppolo tore his ACL. I don't know. And there'll be more, but I don't think it's anything more than normal so far.
All right, Adam, I've given your book to Alfred, the man I've never met. It's sitting in front of him. Alfred, there it is.
I just got it today. I did not get one, Adam, in the mail.
But so
one was definitely sent, so that means that I think I don't know. Armin might have taken it.
Armin may have taken it. All right, so I assume things are going well with the sale of the book. Is that right?
That's not why I did it. But I can tell you this: I'm very pleased with the reaction. Every single day, I get a text or an email from somebody that read it and is very. It just has touched people in a lot of different ways, which has touched me, which is kind of, well, just if you go read the reviews that people have written at Amazon, it's very humbling.
Well, cool, dude. I mean, that's awesome. It's a great piece. It's kind of boy, it's going to be hard to write another one after this one, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, I'm done for a while. It's kind of like a woman who gives birth. Like Ryan Fitzpatrick's wife is pregnant with their couple seventh child. I would have thought she was done after six, but she's going for seven.
Good for her. They're two away from breaking Philip Rivers' record, so keep going.
Ryan Fitzpatrick is going for the league lead right now.
Real quick, is that the real deal in Tampa?
Is what the real deal?
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I mean, if he keeps playing like that, he'll keep playing quarterback. If he doesn't, if he has one of these four-pick games,
right,
they want to go back to Jameis, they can do it at that point in time. But right now, they're going with Jameis.
All right, good stuff, Adam. We appreciate it.
Ryan. Okay.
Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you next week. Thank you, Adam.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Okay, thank you. Adam Schefter brought to you by Rocks Heating and Air. Big Three is coming up. Yeah, there are all sorts of injuries. The quarterbacks are all in place. The big four quarterbacks are now all starting by week four. How about that? This is The Drive on The Fan.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big Three, presented by Sam's Number 3 Diner and Bar.
Story number one.
Keno, and it's picked off! It's a Wilson on the return!
What should we think of Case Keenum now?
He's our starting quarterback. What do you mean? He's a quarterback that is 2-1. I think that Case Keenum may have started that game yesterday not having his mojo, trying to be safe with the football. We don't need him to be that guy. If he's going to throw a couple, throw a couple. But play aggressively. Don't sit and hold the football and be timid in the pocket. I like Case Keenum being aggressive with the football, and if he's not going to do that, then we have a quarterback that can't work for us. So all this talk about interceptions, so what? When he was throwing interceptions, he was also throwing touchdowns. So I don't worry about the interceptions. It's the interceptions in the red zone that hurt you the most.
Case Keenum, in my opinion, is exactly who he is. Probably the 17th to 20th best quarterback in the league. And that's that. You can win with Case Keenum. They could have won that game yesterday. But you can't play as dumb as you played with the 17th or 20th best quarterback in the league. You got to play smart. You got to play well. You got to keep yourself in the game. And then that type of quarterback can, you know, it can help you out. But if you're dealing with the 17th to 20th best quarterback in the league and you are putting just everything on his shoulders because you're falling apart around him, you're going to have games like yesterday. Bongos.
Three! I'm still trying to figure out what I'm watching when I'm watching two young quarterbacks. One is in his second year and one is in his third. And Patrick Mahomes and Jared Goff. I'm watching what may be the two best young quarterbacks in the NFL. And it just kind of just hit me all at once watching football over the first three weekends in the NFL that we're going to see these two guys in two of the next 3 weeks. So what am I watching when I'm watching Jared Goff? And what am I watching when I'm watching Mahomes?
You're watching two highly regarded, highly drafted, highly developed franchise quarterbacks who will be with their teams for the next 10 to 15 years. You are seeing how teams should develop quarterbacks, and you're seeing the payoff big time. So that's how you do it. You're seeing the future of the NFL is what you're seeing.
Well, I'll tell you what.
What do you think you're seeing?
I think that I am seeing I think I'm seeing something that's really special. I'm seeing things that don't make sense for these young guys to be in the position that they're in already. It is unusual. It is
The NFL's changing.
It's not as physical as
it once was. It protects players more. It protects quarterbacks more. And it rewards younger quarterbacks earlier than it ever has.
But
it's
we're talking
changing.
About two guys that were, you know, as far as college football players go, they were not the high-profile guys that you keep talking about that, you know, that you know, the sizzle and all that stuff.
Really?
They were not. No.
Goff was pretty highly regarded and talked about widely out of Cal.
He was the first pick in the NFL draft, but I mean,
that got a lot of attention.
He was not special at Cal. When I tell you he wasn't special.
He was pretty special. He was drafted number one overall,
but he was not a special quarterback at Cal.
Okay.
And certainly you can't say that Patrick Mahomes was a special quarterback at Texas Tech.
What was he?
He was a solid quarterback, you know, but to say that guy was a special talent, I don't know about that, D-Mac, but I'll tell you this.
He's a first-round pick, Al.
Listen, there are a lot of first rounds. So was Sylvester Williams.
Yeah, okay. He was drafted by the Broncos personnel evaluators.
Well, I'm just telling you, what I'm seeing here with Patrick Mahomes and with Jared Goff, it is pretty spectacular, and I don't know if those GMs that drafted them had this in mind the whole time, but just remember now.
Well, of course they did. But Al, that's silly. Yes, of course they did. In both of those cases, there were veteran quarterbacks who were there that they were going to move on from and develop and put those guys in. This absolutely was the plan.
Well, let me ask you this.
They are the definition of the Glennon Trubisky doctrine.
Hold on. If GMs out there knew this so good, how did the Browns miss him? How did the Bears, the 49ers,
the Jets missed him because John Dorsey wasn't with the Browns yet.
The Chargers. I mean, you're talking about
the Chargers
a great
haven't
back.
Moved on from Phillip Rivers
the
yet.
The Carolina Panthers.
Carolina Panthers
had him
are not as, moved on from Cam Newton.
But
Al, you're asking silly questions.
What I'm asking you is, do you think that this is a lucky draw that both of these quarterbacks have worked out.
No, not
at all. Nothing about their college experience. Nothing about their college experience says that they will be these kind of players.
Nothing about their college experience
says that they would be what they are
to
in the NFL right now.
But you're not.
What do you mean?
To you.
Me?
The evaluators for the Rams and Chiefs saw this a mile down the road.
Oh, okay. So they got lucky.
They didn't get lucky. They're smart evaluators. They know what they're doing.
So, wait a minute. So, those
There's
guys.
There's nothing lucky about drafting a quarterback number one, having him more or less sort of train for a year and put him in.
Listen,
there's nothing lucky about getting Patrick Mahomes and then moving on from Alex Smith and trading him to the Reds. There's nothing lucky about that.
There's nothing that says that a guy like Patrick Mahomes should be drafted any lower than number three. So what happened is that the Kansas City Chiefs got lucky.
I totally disagree with you. They made a personnel decision.
They got lucky. They had a philosophy
as an organization, and they hired an experienced coach. They did it as a plan. There's nothing lucky about it.
By the way, the Kansas City Chiefs also fired John Dorsey.
Okay, and?
So I'm just telling you that it was Andy Reid who made that decision.
All right, whoever. Whoever did it did a good job. And John Dorsey's doing a great job in Cleveland, too.
It is just unusual to see these young quarterbacks playing this well early in the 2018 season. Unusual.
Bongos.
Tom Brady's not playing this well.
Oh, my God.
What is it that you don't understand about this?
We'll get to it. Hold on. We'll try to move on here.
Right center field. Charlie makes the catch. Had it the whole way. Ball game over. Rockies win it 6-2.
What a great weekend in Arizona. They sweep the Diamondbacks. Ryan Spielborgs is up there with the Spilly Goat crew and the worst seats in the house, and they still have like 50 Rockies fans up there jumping up and down. And tonight they come back for the stretch run, 7 games at home against the Phillies and Nationals, and John Gray, because of injury, John Gray is on the mound tonight. Alfred, can John Gray get this W and get a performance that they really, really need tonight?
Well, apparently, John Gray has had some video evidence of why he was pitching badly, and he's corrected those things. So we'll see how much technology plays in John Gray's development as a pitcher tonight, because we didn't think we were going to see John Gray again the rest of this year. He was not scheduled to make a start until of an injury. So I'll say this. If John Gray believes that he's got it fixed and he's been working on it, then I believe that the Rockies can get a win. Who would have thought that we were going to go down there and sweep the D-backs?
That was awesome. It was such a great series, Bongos.
Three!
By the way, Trevor Story back in the lineup. He was very close to playing yesterday, by the way. But he's back in the lineup hitting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th tonight and playing shortstop. Whew! Going to be a fun night. Fun night down at Coors Field, fans. Get down there. This is playoff-type action. Got to get these wins at John Gray, man. I know it's been rough, but, I mean, we ultimately have your back, I think. In terms of the Broncos, so much to go through. Al, you said the defense wasn't aggressive. I thought that was going to get switched. We'll go through it next.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank with Big Al and D-Mac.
I just exchanged a little Twitter conversation with Troy Rang on Domantas Pacheco. Domantas Pacheco says he's taught to hustle down the field, was doing what he's been coached to do throughout the years. Follow the ball, hustle. In the end, should not have touched the Ravens player. He owns the mistake. And what I responded to Troy is, oh, wow, I did not know Domantas Pacheco has not been coached properly for so many years. And I try to straighten it out and say to anybody on my team who runs a 5-5 or slower, if somebody who runs a 4-4 picks up the ball, you should stop whatever you're doing and just stand there and watch whatever happens. So I hope that clears up what you should do when a guy who is really fast picks up the ball and you have absolutely zero chance to help him do anything. You could do this, though. You could stop in your tracks and turn around. And if somebody runs into you, then you can stop them. Other than that, running behind a guy who runs a 4-5, 4-4 like Chris Harris, to think that you can do anything positive is absurd. if you want to lightly jog down the field in case something really crazy happens, like the ball comes loose and you have to be there to fall on it, you know, that sounds great. But in terms of how to treat a possible touchdown, I just figured they would have covered that somewhere in 12 years of pro football, how one guy is much faster than you.
That's a ridiculous premise. When you play football, you run to the football no matter what. Period. No matter who you are.
That's terrible coaching. That's terrible coaching.
I wish any coach.
Why would a guy
any coach in the world would hear you say that would probably just, you know.
Here's the problem I have. When you're in the NFL,
they would degrade you in a way that would be unrecognizable.
I'd love to talk to them about it.
What you're teaching
I'm
is, guys,
NFL
the play
football.
Is over.
The play is over. If you're Dominic DePecco in that
you're
situation.
You're still running. You never know what could happen in this league. You just never know. The ball could be punched out. You could be standing there. You know what? Yesterday, we had a situation where Shane Ray knocked the ball out, and good thing those Raven football players were still running to the football trying to get to it.
Yeah, because they were 3 feet away from the football.
But the bottom line is, why should they be going after that ball when Shane Ray
if you can't understand why different circumstances should project different behaviors, I'm not sure what to say to you.
Dude, you just chase the football. Don't touch him. Oh, okay. Chase the football.
So just keep playing dumb and just keep doing dumb things.
What you're saying is absolutely dumb.
No, it's not.
No, it is absolutely dumb. You just run after the football, period.
Give me a scenario where Bradley Bozeman could catch Chris Harris.
I didn't say he could chase him. I said the runner.
Yeah.
No matter who's involved with the play, the most important thing in football is the football.
All right, so why block?
So you always chase to the football no matter who you are, whether you're on offense or defense. That's why you see offensive linemen jogging down the field or running towards the ball carrier when it's a play down the field for a receiver. You just never know.
If he wants to jog down the field because it's something he was taught in, you know, sixth grade and he wants to, you know.
It's a habit. It's a habit.
Okay, so is it a habit to touch a guy on the other team when he's 15 yards behind him?
I thought it was a ticky-tacky call. It shouldn't have been called.
Cost the Broncos the game.
I don't know about that. That would have put them up 21-17.
Cost them the game.
Are you saying that they wouldn't have scored anymore?
I think they would have kept the momentum. It would have been something to leap off of. It would have given them. I think it cost them the
21-17.
Game.
21-17.
I think they win the game if they get that play.
That team scores 34 points a game anyway. So it would have been a nice way to go into the halftime. But then we also had a situation where Cortland Sutton dropped the football at the end of the half. Then and we had to punt the football back to Baltimore, and then they get the field goal at the end with Tucker with the long field goal. So I mean, there are a lot of things that we can clean up. But the whole narrative about this being a poorly coached team, I'll tell you this, man. When you have offensive linemen who are holding people, you have defensive linemen who are committing this ticky-tacky block in the back, you know, that does not look good. With your offensive line, your defensive line, when you travel on the road, those two units have to be great if you want to win on the road.
Well, here's Pecco owning it.
Yeah, I saw it, and, you know, it's a weird call, you know, especially because it happened right in front of the main referee with the white hat. He kind of jumped over the guy that fell down, you know, and I didn't see a flag right there. You know, I even turned around and, you know, and asked them after the play, and they said it was on 77. But at the end of the day, man, we watched it again. And so I just got to be smarter on that and not even be in that situation, man. Just after the block, just stop.
I
was just doing what I was coached and hustling and trying to finish. But the way the game is going, you know, you got to be smarter and make some adjustments, man. That's what the game's about.
When the play happened, I should have just stopped. Boom. He's telling the truth.
No. What the truth is that you run to the football. Don't touch the guy. You don't have to touch you didn't have to touch him. You run to the ball, period. No matter what part of the game. And when you see a guy who doesn't run to the ball, then you know that he's not into it and he's not hustling. And that guy should not be praised for not running to the football. Never should you praise a guy for not running to the football. It's not the way it works in this business.
Oh, I will praise every single, from now on, I guess, because I don't know, I didn't know you had to be coached on this. Every single defensive lineman who just stops running because he does not want to incur some sort of silly penalty while one of the Broncos cornerbacks is racing to the end zone, I will make sure I give him a gold star from now on. Because that's a player that understands the only thing he can do by lumbering down the field is create some sort of penalty that will take that play back. Philip Lindsay diving into the pile. Okay, Al, are you coached to dive into a pile? I know it's against the rules, but are you coached to do that?
No, you're not coached to do that. But I think
what was Philip Lindsay thinking?
I don't know. We have to ask Philip Lindsay that because he said that he was trying to take the ball away from the defender. He was punching at the ball. So, you know, the referee.
Was it a pile?
What?
Was it a pile?
Yeah, he shouldn't have dumped in. It was too late.
I'm trying
timing,
to figure out. Because
There are timing issues on when you can jump in.
You
can jump in a pile, but it depends on if there is already a scrum. If there's already a scrum, you cannot enter into the scrum.
I just don't understand how football players at a professional level don't understand some rudimentary basics about football.
By the way. This rule about diving into the pile, this is a fairly new rule, but they should know it.
So is he coached?
They should know it.
Do players has he been coached in high school and college to dive into a pile?
If the ball is free, you're going for the ball.
Did you see the ball?
I don't know if he saw it or not, but there's a point when the scrum has already been declared, you can't enter into the scrum once the ball, the ball has been covered up. You cannot jump into the pile and try to extract the ball once the ball has been covered up and the ball was covered up.
When is it okay to throw punches of any kind?
Towards the football?
Towards another player on a football field.
Dude, I mean, Ezekiel Elliott was running with the football yesterday and a punch was thrown right at the football and it was a fumble call.
No. Punch when you're punching, you're throwing punches.
For the ball?
Okay. Is this a well-coached team, Alfred?
Yesterday they did not look good.
If they were your team and they were middle school kids, what would be the consequence of how they played?
We just have to go back and go through all the situations again and go through them and make sure, first of all, we're not holding on big plays down the field. Got to make sure we know what the play is so that we're not giving up sacks. We got to make sure we know not to attack a guy that is behind the ball carrier, and we can go through those things. Those are correctable things. Everything that we saw yesterday is correctable.
This wasn't a matter of poor discipline and poor understanding.
When you lose a football game,
patience,
when you lose a football
composure.
Game, let me explain this to you. When you lose a football game, it feels like a little piece of you was taken out every time you lose a football game. But in the grand scheme of things, okay, we did some good things there yesterday that we can build on and make this team a lot better going forward. We learned more about our quarterback than anything else. And the main issue...
What did we learn?
We learned that our quarterback won a lot of games last year, but he won those games in a dome. Yesterday, Case Keenum played in an outdoor situation when the ball was wet and he couldn't grab it. And he kept reaching for a towel and every time out to try to dry his hands off, to try to get a better grip on the football. That's what we learned yesterday, is that the dome may have really helped a guy like Case Keenum.
All right, well, let's dig into it, because that sounds like a bigger topic, actually.
Well, I'm just saying, that's what I learned.
All right, so we'll get to that. I know you saw some positive things.
Our special
things
teams
you want to
were off the
it.
Chain, man. It was a great day in special teams.
Okay, football at 4 is coming up next.